Well, if you've been here at all the past couple of weeks, you know that we've been in a series on prayer. And really, beyond that, we sense that God has been leading us as a church community into a more intentional time of prayer. And so we're kind of 2 weeks into this 40 days of prayer journey that we're all on together. We're asking everyone here to set aside some time each day to pray, just to make that an intentional part of your day and kind of your rhythms there, and to pray for your family and friends, and pray for this church and this community, and obviously for the world. We also had this past Wednesday our first Wednesday night prayer gathering, and several of you came out for that, and we had a really great time of prayer. Those are happening. There are four more of those the next four Wednesdays, and so we invite you, if you couldn't make it the first one, come on out this Wednesday. It's at the Innovation Connector. There's an address, directions on our website, from 6:30 till 8 o'clock. We'd love to see a lot more of you guys there. Well, we're going to hit pause, all that to say, on this prayer series this week, and we're going to pick it back up again next week. We recognize that for a lot of you, maybe this is your first time here. We have college students coming back. Maybe this is your first time visiting with us, and we're really glad that you're here, and you could not have picked a more perfect Sunday to check this out. We're actually going to take some time this morning to talk a little bit about who we are as a church and what we're about and what are we passionate about and what things are we moving toward, what motivates us. I mentioned this last Sunday, it was kind of a side note, but I said, believe it or not, we're not actually in the business of just putting on church services where we just put all this time and energy into a service at 10:30 and then come back again next week just to do it all again. Really, what we're about, it's not just about us and kind of our little church here. It's much bigger than that. It's not about church attendance. It's not about saying, look, God, I was here. I hope you took note of that. Put a check by my name because I was present in the building. This is about something else and something quite a bit bigger. Early on in Jesus' ministry, he left this region called Galilee, and he was walking along, and he was beginning to kind of gather followers from the crowd of people that had started following him or surrounding him. And Jesus called a guy named Philip, and he said, hey, Philip, you've seen me do some things, and you've heard me teach, and I want you, Philip, to follow me. And of course, he didn't mean that he wanted him to follow him down the street, right? I mean, it was, I want you to be my follower, as in my disciple. And that's what a disciple is, a student, a learner, a follower. He says, Philip, I want you to follow me. I want you to kind of refocus what your life is about, and especially in this next season, devote yourself to my teaching. I want you to be my disciple. And Philip says, all right, I'll do it. I'm in. I've seen enough. I've heard enough. I just have one question for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, essentially, what's the question? And Philip says, see, I have this friend. Can I bring a friend? And Jesus says, okay, go invite your friend. Go for it. So Philip goes and he finds Nathanael and he says, Nathanael, I think I've found the Messiah. And he's invited me to follow him and to kind of be one of his inner circle guys. And would you, Nathanael, follow me as I follow Jesus? And this is in John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he says, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. You remember Nathanael as a kid? They said someday the Messiah is going to come, and we believe that he's here, and I think I've met him, and he said I could be one of his followers, and he said I could bring a friend. Would you like to come with me? And Nathanael says in the next verse, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? He's really from Nazareth? Because I haven't met anybody from Nazareth, now that I think about it, that I'd actually want to hang out with. Are you sure he's the Messiah? I mean, have you actually been to Nazareth? It's really not the best area. And I love this next part. Come and see, said Philip. Philip just said, come and see. I dare you. I dare you just to come check this out and see for yourself. And Nathanael, I can't argue with you. I'm not going to be able to convince you. I'm not even sure if I can fully explain it. You just have to come and see and decide for yourself if Jesus is the real deal. And you know what? Nathanael went to Jesus, and they had a conversation, and Nathanael became one of Jesus' followers. Love that phrase, come and see. We see this invitation all throughout the Gospels and the way Jesus interacted with people and then the way people responded. You have people coming from all kinds of different backgrounds and assumptions about Jesus, and yet we find over and over and over again that people who were nothing like Jesus, they actually liked Jesus. Once they got around him, they were drawn to him, and people Jesus was nothing like, he liked them, and essentially the only people he had a problem with and he got into it with religious leaders, religious people. But over and over, people who would say, I have no idea what I believe about God. And I don't know if I have a relationship with God or if that's even possible, what that would look like. I don't know. And yet, over and over, these people liked Jesus. They were drawn to him when they had a chance to see for themselves. So Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. And I think for a lot of us, that's our story, isn't it? We had or we still have questions. We still have maybe things that we wrestle with, questions about our faith. And by the way, there are a lot of really good answers to many of those questions. At the same time, I'm fully aware that the central claims of the Christian faith, that Jesus died, he lived, he died, and was resurrected. That's a big claim, isn't it? You know what Nathanael's problem was? Nazareth, come on, I've been there. Nothing good comes out of there. We couldn't care less about Nazareth. That's not our issue at all, right? But resurrection? I mean, really? The idea that God wants to reconcile us back to God, to restore our relationship, our connection with God, I mean, that raises a million questions. And these are astounding, dumbfounding, really, declarations. And we can't prove any of them empirically or definitively. But see, many of us have been in this place where whatever your doubts are, whatever your questions, whatever tensions remain unresolved, questions you have about the Bible, about theology, I have those. In fact, when I stop and think about it, because of my education or my background, my training, I can think of whole categories of doubts and issues that perhaps you haven't even thought about. And so we could do that all day long. But here's the thing, and I this is what I want to point to here. And for many of us, at the end of the day, I just keep coming back to Jesus. I just keep coming back to him. There's something about Jesus that keeps drawing us in. It brings people, like many of us who may have nothing else in common, it brings us together as a family, as a church body. I know that you have questions, many of you. I realize fully that we live in a culture where faith in many ways is seen as, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. Actually, not faith so much. That's kind of fine. But the Jesus part, right? Yet there's something about Jesus that draws us in. And you can't explain it. You can't like argue anyone to believing. You can't really diagram it. But who he is and what he's offering is meant to be experienced. We've got to experience it. Now, just when the disciples were finally grasping who Jesus was, this is after 3 years of following him, and they, you know, finally click for them. We got it. We know who you are. We believe. Jesus then sends them out and says, I want you to teach other people to follow me. I want you to pass on what I have taught you. I want you to go and interact with people who don't yet know me, and I want you to interact in such a way that they actually become my disciples, my followers. And by the way, Jesus says, don't just hang around Jewish people, like here in Jerusalem. Don't just hang around Palestine with people who kind of know the Old Testament and the thing about the Messiah. I want you to go everywhere. Take this everywhere. And so Jesus launched the church. And when Jesus launched the church and sent the disciples out, you realize when he first used that word church, it's a Greek word, ekklesia. Originally, that word didn't mean like big fancy institution. It wasn't like any kind of organized thing. Ekklesia, church, was just the ordinary word for gathering. Just a gathering of people. And Jesus said, I want you to go kind of start these gatherings. Only they have one specific purpose, one key thing. A gathering of people who are committed to following Jesus. I want you to go begin these gatherings where people are putting their lives under mine, Jesus says. And so he launched a group of people who were centered around him and who he was. And then when he finished sending them out, when he finished telling them to go make more disciples, he said this to the disciples and I think to us in Matthew 28:20. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Think about what that means. Jesus saying, I am with you always. I guess he's saying in some kind of mystical or supernatural or non-tangible sense, I'm going to be with people, I'm going to be with those who take seriously my command to follow me and to make disciples of other people. Because I'm going to be right in the middle of that. And so, if you want to experience my power, if you want to experience my presence in a tangible way, then you need to surround yourselves with other people, with a gathering of people who are pointing other people to Jesus. Notice that Jesus doesn't promise that he's going to be present anytime people gather and just call it a church. That's not what he says. He promises to show up in a living way when we're focused on pointing people to him. We've all experienced this invitation to come and see. And Jesus takes it a step farther and says, when you get in on that, when you start inviting other people in on that, I will be present in a very specific, very unique way. I'll be among you. And then later, the New Testament writer who wrote much of it, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says it in 1 Corinthians 12. He takes this thing a whole several steps farther, and he gives us this metaphor, and he expounds on it, and he elaborates, and we're just going to look at the end of what he says. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Just before this verse, Paul says that, you know, there's all these, we each play a different part in the body. We each have a different role to play. And no one role, no one part in the body is more important than the other. He says, chances are, if you think you have a lesser role, like what I'm doing is not as important to what that person over there is doing, he says, you couldn't be more wrong. In fact, your role, and this is the word he uses, is indispensable. You have an indispensable part in the body of Christ. The church, wherever there's a gathering like this, people centering around the person of Jesus, that's the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ on earth, which means that the closest that, you know, at least right now in this lifetime, the closest that anyone could actually get to the person of Jesus is where? His body, right? The church, not just this gathering, but the church universal. That's what that means. The idea is when the local church is functioning like it's supposed to function, this should be happening. You've got to come see this. You know, I can't fully explain it, and I probably can't answer all your questions, but something is happening. You have to come check this out for yourself. Something real, something vibrant, something really practical is taking place. You've got to come experience life in the body of Christ. And that's what's happened for many of us. At some point, we were introduced to other Jesus followers. Whether we were raised in the church or we encountered it in some other way, we started hanging out with other Jesus followers. And we didn't, you know, maybe get all of our questions answered right away, and maybe we didn't change instantaneously. But over time, something happened to many of you. You experienced the person of Jesus, which again, that's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? Something you have to experience. And our lives began to change, and our priorities and our perspective shifted, and we freely admit that we're still far from perfect. We don't have it all figured out. But we just keep now that we've experienced this, pointing other people back to Jesus. Paul is saying that you are an indispensable part of the work that God is doing in the world. Do you think of yourself like that? You are an indispensable part of the work that God wants to do in the world. I think so many times we're off doing our own thing, and we're trying to find purpose, and we're trying to find meaning for our lives, and it's all about me, me, me. And Scripture is teaching us, you will not know your full purpose until you connect to the body of Christ. That's like the only way to know a big part of God's plan and purpose for you, using your gifts alongside other believers. It's amazing. You know, if we were talking about like a church building, that would be boring, wouldn't it? It'd be pretty boring. But the church isn't a building. It's a movement of people. Jesus launched this movement in the first century, and this thing that for a million reasons should not have made it out of the first century. Persecution, obstacles, and not only did it spread around the world in spite of those odds, but it kept multiplying and growing exponentially, generation by generation, and passed on from person to person people just like you and me. And so if you're a believer, you are a part of that. You're an extremely important part of this, even if you don't recognize it, even if you haven't figured out kind of where you fit in the body and what role you're supposed to play. Here's our mission as a church. Here's how we take kind of all of that and just put it into kind of our own words, as simple as we know how to say it. It's really simple. We are here to invite people to find hope in Jesus. That's it. You say, well, what does hope look like? Well, it looks different for every single person. Sometimes hope is hope in a relationship, or hope just in lots of different practical ways. It's healing, it's forgiveness, it's reconciliation. There's so many things, working through issues in our past. We invite people to find hope in Jesus where they need it. We want people to come and see. And by the way, it's not us. Not come see us, but come see the one we're pointing to. Something beyond, someone beyond us. We want to share that hope that we've experienced, that we're drawn to. And so we're here to just invite people to take their next step closer to Jesus. And we do that without judgment, without looking down on anyone, thinking that we've somehow, you know, we're somehow better. Because we know firsthand how grace has changed us. The grace that we've needed. The grace that we're like still counting on in the future in our own lives. And we know that people come around here and they get around this body, which is far from perfect. And people come through these doors, and we're in here from all different places. And we have questions, and we have things we're kind of frustrated with, or we have maybe a bad church experience in the past, and we come in here, and you may not buy into everything that Scripture teaches. You may disagree with some of the things that I say. I disagree with myself half the time, right? I go home on Monday morning, I go, why did I say that? That was so, I don't even think that. That's fine, is what I'm saying. You might not be ready to kind of sing along, and again, that's okay. Some of us come here, and we come out of really, what's the word? It's good that I don't even know this word anymore. Oh, legalistic. We come out of really legalistic church backgrounds. And again, that can't be right, because who was drawn to Jesus? People who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus, and they wanted to be around him, so that should be happening if it's about Jesus. Others of us, maybe we have a church experience where it was dead and it was lifeless, and you went to church and you did the thing, but like, and Jesus was maybe in there a little bit, but he wasn't the focus. And guess what he says? I will be with you as you center on, focus around me. So that's what we're trying to do. We believe, and again, it's hard to explain, but we believe that experience of grace, that experience with the presence of Jesus actually changes us. If you can just get a glimpse of him, if you can experience enough of Jesus to want to come back next week, that's a huge deal. And then come back the week after that, and the week after that, and maybe at some point, and maybe you don't even know when, you have this awareness, this realization, I'm following Jesus. I'm like going after Jesus. I'm in. And many of us here, we've had the experience and the benefit of allowing the teachings of Jesus and of the New Testament to filter down into our lives, to make an actual difference in our relationships and how we interact, and to make a difference in how we manage our money and raise our kids and in every area of our lives. And as that begins to make its way down to the fundamental level of your life, as we learn to feed ourselves and how to integrate this into our actual life, it really does change us. And that's why you're here. That's why I'm here. And so we're just doing our best. We want to keep doing our best to point people to Jesus. We're going to keep taking seriously Jesus' promise that when we do that as well as we can, he promises to be with us in a unique way. We recognize that he's the only one ultimately who changes hearts. That's his job, not ours. Our job is just to play our part in the body and to point to him. And we celebrate the ways that he's doing that. We celebrate the ways that people are finding hope in Jesus as a result of this local body, this local expression of the larger body of Christ. Coming up in October, we'll be celebrating baptisms again. And we'll have people come up here and they tell just a little bit about their story, something that they've written. And you know, listening to those, how powerful that is, don't you? You listen to people say publicly, I am in. I'm committed my life to following Jesus. And some of those people are people that you invited here. The people that, you know, again, God changes hearts, but you had a part to play in that. You played a significant role in that person's life. We have people growing in their faith through small groups, and they're connecting, and for the first time, they're sitting down in a group of people, and they're sharing about their faith. And what for many people has been something they just did on Sunday, and they went, and they know the songs, and they know the verses, but they don't, there's not much overlap into the rest of their lives. When they get together in the middle of the week, and they try to apply the scriptures, they try to apply the teaching of Jesus to their life, that begins to change us. We have several people participating in marriage mentoring groups that just gather once a month, and with the sole purpose of how can we improve our marriages? How can we help each other on this journey? Because as many of us know, there are challenging times in marriage, and there are ways that we can all get better. We have groups of people regularly serving together out in our community. We're in a season right now as a church where we're hopefully, as a church community, we're growing. We're growing in our devotion, specifically to prayer. We're growing as it relates to prayer and what that means in our own lives. So I want to give you, actually, I want to give you four ways to apply this. This idea that we're invited to come and see. That's what the church, in many ways, when it's at its best, is supposed to be doing. That Jesus invites us to point other people to him. I want to give us four ways, really specific challenges. And this is for everyone who calls this church home, or you call it, you know, it's home during the school year. I would submit to you that if you feel like you're not growing, if you feel like you can't sense God's presence, you're kind of wondering what your purpose is, there may be other explanations for that, but one of the first things I would ask you is, are you connected to the body? Are you connected to the body of Christ? Four things. First, I want to challenge you to invite a friend. This is one of the tools that God uses to connect us to Jesus, the local church. You know what's funny about this? When you really love something, do you know how you talk about it? You do exactly what Philip said to Nathaniel. If you like really love a restaurant or a book, at some point when you're describing this to your friends, as you naturally do, at some point you say, I can't even explain it. You just have to read it. You just have to experience it. You just have to go there. I only bring this up once, I mean, very, very rarely, but it's what I do with CrossFit. People think I'm crazy, and they got these read these articles, and it's dangerous and all these things, and you're one of those CrossFit crazies and all that. But every time it comes up, and I try not to let it come up very often, I end with saying, just come one time. Just one time, you know, show up, and you just have to experience it. I mean, we do this, forget about CrossFit. We do this with things that we love, naturally. We say, you've got to experience it. Jesus, more than any of those things, more than anyone else, Jesus has to be experienced. And so we invite people to come and see. We go to people and we say, hey, you know, this. We may not answer all your questions, and you still may have issues and kind of hang-ups with God or the Bible or church or Jesus. You know, that's okay. Because you know what? I can't fully explain it all myself. You don't have to agree with everything. Just come check it out. Start hanging around. But one practical way to start with this is when people ask you tomorrow what you did this weekend, right? Because here's what we usually do. Here's what I did Friday. Here's what I did Saturday morning. Here's what I did Saturday night. Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we kind of skip over one important piece of what we did. And so take an opportunity just to say, you know what? I went to church. And I'd love for you to come along if you don't have a church home. Would you please, you know, come with me? And just use that as an invitation. You never know how God might use that invitation in another person's life. You realize there are only two ways people find out about this church? I really thought hard about this. I think there's only two ways. I ask people all the time who I meet who are new, and I always ask them, how'd you find out about this place? And here's what I find. This is from my official research. What I found is they don't drive by and see this and think, that's obviously a church, and there's obviously the sign, and what time the service. That doesn't happen here, at least. A few people will say that it's our website, you know, they're looking online, searching churches, and just they connect through that initially. But 90% of the people that I ask about this say, so-and-so invited me here. I have a friend who, or a friend of a friend invited me here, and that's how they got connected to this body. Second, I want to challenge you to give a percentage. Creating this opportunity to invite people to find hope in Jesus requires financial resources. It doesn't just happen on its own. And I know that so many of you are so generous in your giving, and we're really grateful for you. We take the stewardship of those resources very, very seriously. Many of you have done this. You give to help resource what we're doing. You, giving a percentage, you play a part in the body of Christ. And so if your discipleship to Jesus hasn't made its way down and having an effect on your finances, I want to encourage you to take that step. Move toward that. Third, I want to challenge you to connect to a group. We know that just coming here and maybe sitting in these rows listening to a preacher, that's not where life change really happens. I mean, it's an important part, and it's valuable, and we need this time of gathering together. But so much more happens in relationships. So much more happens outside of this and in small groups and in opportunities to serve together than just sitting here looking at the back of somebody's head in rows. We're going to be talking more about small groups in the coming weeks, but I just want to mention this quick and have you mark your calendars. There's a date I want to give you here. On Friday, September 12th, we're going to be having our fall group link event, and this is just a one-time event. We do it once in the fall and once like in January, where people come and are connected to a new small group. So if you're looking to get involved in a small group, this is the number one place to consider showing up. It's Friday, September 12th, 6:30 to 8, over at the Innovation Connector, just kind of over there by campus. Our small groups get together once a week or so we study the Bible. We talk about the messages, some groups. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. And just talk about how can we live out our faith. So save the date. We'll get to more of that later. And then lastly, and here's the main application this morning. We want to challenge you to serve on a team. We don't think that you can grow spiritually long-term unless you're playing your part connected to the body. You have an indispensable role. Listen, we are so thankful for all the volunteers that we have here. So many of you get this, and I do not say thank you nearly enough, but thank you. And I know this doesn't just happen because you're busy. It happens because you make this a priority. And so if you have served consistently on a service team, we cannot thank you enough. We're moving into a new ministry season or cycle, and what we do around here is we ask people to commit to serving on a team for 1 year beginning in September, so September through August. And then we, at the end of that year, we kind of let people reevaluate and recommit or find a different area of service or whatever works for them. We know that if you're here and if you're a college student, that chances are you're leaving Muncie maybe at the end of April or May. And don't let that stop you from serving. We kind of put some things together in the summer for when you're gone. But if you can commit from September through the end of the school year, we would love to have you. Specifically for those of you who've been coming here for a while, and you enjoy it, and you appreciate it, and you're kind of taking it all in, but you've never taken that step to invest and to join a team and to give back, today is your best opportunity to do that. I want to challenge you to get involved. Believe it or not, during an average month, listen to this, we have 180 unique volunteer spots over the average month for Sunday. And so that means if everybody, you know, people were serving one area only, we would need 180 people to fill those 180 unique opportunities for service. Of course, we probably have 30 or 40 or who knows how many people who serve in multiple areas, and it's like every Sunday they're doing three or four things, and there's people here that I don't see for a while, and I go, I wonder what happened to so-and-so, and then I find out they've been upstairs in the children's ministry filling in for other people, and they've been there, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in a row. We don't want that. For one thing, we appreciate that there are people that servant-minded, But if we would all kind of do our part, we wouldn't have to run people into the ground, which I think is unfortunately what happens sometimes. When you came in this morning, you should have found a connection card on your seat. Ignore that watermark on there. Print version, the largest resolution I could find. But anyway, go ahead and pull that card out, and I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. So here are the areas where we need a whole bunch of you to step up and to get involved. And we joke every year when we do this, like once a year, we always joke that the ushers are now locking the doors. Okay, so you cannot leave. They're not really. Nobody panic. One more thing as we just walk through this list. I realize that sometimes circumstances prevent you from being on a schedule, you know, a once-a-month service team opportunity. And that for some people, I think it's probably a smaller number, for some people they can't do that. And that's fine. We really do understand that. But what happens sometimes is we end up having a lot of people who say, hey, I'm willing to help. Don't schedule me or anything, but if you need a fill-in or you're in a bind some Sunday, you can call me or whatever. And I totally understand that impulse. All I'm saying is this, that works really well, that kind of casual, keep your options open. That's great for what you do on like a nice Saturday. Okay, that doesn't work quite as well when a whole bunch of people do that on a Sunday morning. It just makes things more difficult than I think they have to be. So just want to say that. All right, let me talk here, this first thing here. I'm just messing with this iPad. See? Commonway Kids Ministry. This is our biggest volunteer need. We need in total 85 of you to volunteer once a month in our children's ministry. Jill Dubois, our incredible, by the way, children's ministry director. She's looking for people to serve once a month, all ages, infants through elementary school age. This is not babysitting. We're looking for people who understand the opportunity we have to teach people about Jesus, to point to him, to say, come and see, in a way that they can understand. So we need lots of you who'd be willing to partner with us in helping kids, helping them know that God loves them and that God has a purpose for them. You know, I didn't feel this nearly as strongly before I had kids, but now that I do, one of the things that I want as a parent for my kids is for them to come to follow Jesus and to, like, want to obey God and honor him from an early age. Because I just have this conviction that that's one of the best ways, if not the singular best way, to avoid a whole lot of unnecessary pain and heartache and grief later on in life. And yes, God redeems our past and our mistakes, and he's able to bring good out of our pain. But you have the opportunity with your love and your example to influence children in a way that perhaps helps them avoid some of that. That you can put some things, some truth in their hearts that when they get a little bit older and they're navigating adolescence and, into adulthood, that they've got some things to draw on. They've got a foundation, and you have that opportunity, and it could last a child the rest of his or her life. I realize sometimes people without kids, here's what you're thinking. I didn't cause any of those. That's like, why are you looking at me? I've got nothing to do with it. On the other end, people who've maybe raised kids, been there, done that, done my time, right? And so you're kind of thinking on both ends of that, I don't need to get involved, but that's not true. We need you. And the other funny thing that happens is sometimes parents, especially parents of little kids, you can see how this is a perfect storm. Parents of little kids will say, oh, I just need a break. It's like my one time. I've been around kids all week long. I just need to just not be around kids for an hour on Sundays. And we understand that. We're just asking once a month. It's a great opportunity for you parents to meet your kids as friends at church. Liz and I, we have a lot of kids from this church to our house, and our kids are going to other people's houses and play dates and all these things because of the relationship that we have with these families and with these other parents. And so it's a really, really good way for you, especially if you're a young family, to get connected is by serving in this area. If you'd be willing to help with the kids once a month, just check that box. By the way, we're going to train you with this, okay? We're not just going to give you a little piece of paper and some diapers and throw you in a room and say, good luck. Okay, we will help you. There's a system. It's organized. If you love kids, I promise you, you have what it takes. The second thing here is the host team. This is our ushers and our greeters. We need like 48 of you to serve once a month in this area. We're looking for friendly people who know sometimes how difficult it can be to come to a new church. And here's what we often forget, those of us who've been around here for a while, because you've got your parking space. You walk in confidently because you know exactly what room you're going into. You know specifically where you're going to sit. You know the drill. But we don't do this necessarily for people who are already here. We do this for people who aren't here, who are coming for the first time. And we recognize that when we have people greeting, when we have people at our connections table answering questions about the church, that kind of says, hey, we thought there might be some new people here today. And we were expecting you. And how can we help you get connected? It's not just for us who know the drill. And so if you're willing to help in this area so people have a good experience and want to come back, you can check the host team. You can see here if you want to circle the, you know, greeting or ushering. And then we also have some need for people to serve at our connections table. This is not on the card, but we need some people who just once a month sit back there and answer questions and give information. We don't have bulletins. Have you noticed that? And so one of the ways people get information about our church is at the connection table. And so if you're willing to help with that, just write table. See where I'm doing that? I'm really happy right now. You just write table right there, and we will contact you. General setup and teardown. This team gets here at 9 a.m., and they set up the kids' classrooms, and they put out signs. And this is once a month. You get here, and you work with this team, and these are people that you generally get to know. And then they all, when it's your month to set everything up, when it's your Sunday, you also tear everything down, you put it back, it goes away much quicker than it gets all put out, and usually people are done and gone before people in this room are even done talking to each other after service. It's all organized, we have a good system, and we need about 32 of you to work behind the scenes. Look, we're looking for some people who understand that setting things up and putting signs out and stuff like this, it's ministry. It's ministry, and so we need individuals and families and teenagers who get that. Who get that we're creating a place where people are encouraged to take their next step in their relationship with God. So you can check that box. The next one is tech setup and tear down. This group gets here around 7:30 a.m. and they set up the sound system and they set up the projector and the lights and some of that. I'm going to show you something here. We have a really good system for this. Everything has a place. It's all labeled. They're usually done by 8 or 8:30, and many of them, go home and change clothes or pick people up and get back here in time for the service. And then they tear everything down afterward, and they're usually out of here by 12:30 or earlier. So we need 16 people or so to serve once a month in the area of tech setup. And then lastly, media. We need some people to help run the media on the computer. By the way, there is no guarantee at all that our worship leader, Cliff, is going to actually sing the words that are on the screen. But they're up there for our reference. he's a good buddy of mine. I can joke with him. Plus, that's payback for that disc golf thing he harassed me about the other day. So if you can help run media once a month, check that box. If you're here going, there may be a few of you, God bless you, going, Where do you need me? I'm willing to do whatever. Where do you have the most need? And I would, if that's you, thank you. I would direct you to children's ministry. You saw that we have a lot of, that was just one age group, those kids. There's a bunch of other kids. And people are having babies and, the Bowses are coming. They got three more kids and it just keeps growing. So if you can help in that area, we'd appreciate it. And then just general setup and tech setup, we just have the most need and it requires some effort and requires some commitment. And so if you could help us there. Well, we had some people from the church actually come in and the last couple of weeks and give us their take on serving. So let's watch this.
Please, don't volunteer.
Don't volunteer.
Don't volunteer.
Don't volunteer.
Whatever you do, don't volunteer.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Do not volunteer.
Don't help. Don't help. Don't help out. Really, our church doesn't need volunteers.
Come on, you have better things to be doing.
I would rather play video games.
There's a million other things you can do besides volunteer.
I would rather eat a sleeve of Fig Newtons.
Hey, look, Don't serve.
It's really easy. Listen, simple. Don't volunteer. Whatever they say, don't volunteer.
First of all, do you know what time you have to get up in the morning?
Get up at 7 a.m. to set up microphones? Psh.
Sleep in. Volunteer.
Well, that's an easy decision.
Sleep in. Never mind, sleep in.
You're already way too busy anyway.
You don't have an extra hour once a month to give.
I know, I follow you on Facebook. I see all the really important things you're doing.
Somebody else will do it if you don't, so it really is not that big a deal if you say, you know, I'm just too busy.
Don't fill out the card. Wait just a little bit longer, and someone else is probably going to step up and fill your place.
Besides, you volunteered once in the past. You don't have to do it again.
That's how that works, right?
And what difference am I going to make? I'm just one person.
It's all behind-the-scenes stuff. Nobody notices.
So if I were you, here's the thing that I personally would do. Nothing. I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Setting up signs, putting out cards on the seats. Talk about busy work.
Helping set up the sound system, like with cords and wires and instruments and basses and drums. I don't know anything about that.
We don't need anybody to put the words up on the screen. These are songs we've sung many, many times. If we don't know it, we'll just Google it.
Unless you realize there is a bigger purpose for all of that. I don't know. Maybe you should volunteer.
If you could glimpse how that investment of your time and energy can really impact the way people experience worship and hear the message each week without any distractions,
you might consider volunteering.
I mean, greet people as they come in the doors of the church? That's creepy.
What if my hand is sweaty? What if I grab it right before I'm supposed to and it becomes awkward?
But maybe you remember what it was like coming to a new church for the first time and how intimidating it was. You know, where do you sit? Do you sing? Do you not sing? Do you move your hands? Do you just stand there and be quiet? Like, it's a new dynamic.
If you want to let our visitors know that they were welcome here and communicate that, hey, we're expecting you.
In that particular case, you might think about volunteering.
A smile, a handshake, any gesture goes a really long way in making you feel comfortable.
Common way, kids. What is that? Glorified babysitting? See what I did there?
You know, volunteering in the nursery is more than changing diapers. And volunteering in Sunday school is more than pouring Kool-Aid.
So if you think it's important to teach kids about Jesus so that they can understand, then I guess you might want to think about volunteering.
If it matters to you that they know that God made them, God loves them, and God wants to be with them forever,
then it might be worth it.
Come on. The kids will love you. They'll flock to you. I mean, you've seen those pictures like they run to Jesus. That could be you.
Well, you could think about volunteering.
We're only asking like one Sunday a month. That's not too much to commit to.
If you're interested in living like Jesus, well, I guess he did do a lot to serve others.
I guess if you put it like that, it's an option. Okay.
If you wanted to let our visitors know that you are welcome, in fact, we're expecting you.
If you want to create an environment to help people find Jesus wherever they are.
This is definitely an opportunity for you to help, to be a part of something big.
You know, maybe this is really about that. In fact, that's what it's been about all along, inviting people to find hope in Jesus.
Actually, we really need you to volunteer.
Help us invite people to find hope in Jesus.
I know I said that you shouldn't, but yeah, I think you should volunteer, actually.
We need you.
We need you to serve. We need you to get involved. We need you to take some of what you've been given, some of your time, some of your ability.
Sometimes just showing up makes all the difference.
Jesus said that when you give your life away in service to others, in the end, you are the one who's blessed.
Okay, guys, I found it. It's right here.
Mark 10:45.
For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
And to give his life as a ransom for many.
Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not people.
1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others.
Look, we need you to volunteer.
We need you to volunteer.
You need you to volunteer.
If you don't, nobody else will. Other people aren't. You need to do it. It needs to be you.
We need you to volunteer.
All right, so you've made up your mind. You definitely want to volunteer. Congratulations. But how are we going to know that? We're not mind readers in here. Except for that guy back there. I think he's some sort of Jedi. All right, I'm going to wait for you. to fill out that connection card that was on your seat when you came in. It was put there by a volunteer. So I don't have a watch, but I really don't have anything else to go do right now, so I'm just going to wait for you. How's it going? You need me to need any help? I have a master's of education, so I can spell your name for you if you need some help. Okay, so let's make one thing very clear here. We're not going to sign you up to volunteer unless you sign you up to volunteer. Did that make any sense? You sign you? Don't worry, it's fine. Let's just go with it. All right, so you sign you up to volunteer. We'll be good to go, and you'll be good to go. Thanks for your help.
Would you stand with us, please? We're all busy, right? But would you do your part? Would you play your role in this body so that we can continue doing what we feel like God's calling us to do together, inviting people to find hope in Jesus? You are an indispensable part of the body. Would you do your part so that we could be set up together for this next season of ministry as a church? Thank you, guys. We couldn't do this without you. This takes all of us together, working together to be what God's calling us to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're all here because at some point, someone in our lives, probably a lot of someones, came behind us or, you know, followed us or invested in us, somewhere served behind the scenes, so that we would have an opportunity to begin the journey of finding hope in Jesus. Lord, help us just to be some of those people for other people. Help us to use what we have been given and to play our indispensable part in the body of Christ. Lord, just give us the courage to simply be available and just to watch and to trust you to do what only you can do through each one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.